Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I sat next to Joe the plumber on the plane a couple of weeks ago. Well, he wasn't actually Joe the plumber, but he was a plumber. I never did catch his name. Retired now. Took an early retirement offered to him on very good terms by the federal government, which had employed him. And as he started talking to me, he mentioned right away that, well, he would be voting for McCain. He didn't like him very much, but what are you going to do? You have to vote, don't you? Remember the thorns in the head, the empty rituals which mock our sovereign king, who gave us a mind and a memory and an immortal soul for which we must one day answer. Now, I don't usually talk to seatmates on planes. Father Cicada has elaborate strategies he uses to avoid just such a fate. And it is true, Father has a point, that our time is little. There are many prayers to be said and good books to be read and sermons to be planned out. But sometimes he and I both find it is useful to sit and listen. I've been thinking about what this plumber told me ever since. He couldn't have been much older than I, but he seemed old before his time. You saw it in his face. You heard it in his voice. Tired. He had had enough of life, retirement. That was the only thing he relished anymore. And he was fascinated when I told him that not only did we priests not marry, but we didn't retire. I don't think he could grasp the concept. He was raised and still lives in a small town in Pennsylvania, a Protestant and a very conservative town. And his religion, which is, after all, the fruit of the great first modern revolution, that of Martin Luther against Christ our King, his religion was not much help to him in figuring out what on earth was going on with what he called our generation, meaning from the time of the great revolution of the 60s, the Vatican Council and the revolutions of 1968, until the resignation of this year. And he kept on saying to me, well, he said, and I'm thinking to myself, speak for yourself, but he said, well, we've made a mess of things, and we have to leave it to the next generation and hope that they'll do a better job. But he didn't sound too hopeful. He lived next door to his son and daughter-in-law. They rented from him. He said that was a big mistake. And he was aghast. Now they never saved any money. Now they had a sense of entitlement. It was all coming to them. And I don't think he even enjoys his grandchildren, which is a shame. He rather resents many days having to babysit for them when their parents are sick because, of course, they both work outside the home. And he also has to babysit for them every week because the parents don't dare take their children to the store because they'll demand this and that and the other thing, and you couldn't say no. I think that what keeps this poor man happy, the retired plumber, is the thought of retirement. In the meantime, he concentrates on saying very little. He is the very picture of defeat. He's paid his dues. He fought in two wars and was wounded in one of them. He worked hard and saved his money and voted Republican and raised his three children. He and his wife both came from large farming families of 8 to 10 children. And he was so unhappy with the present and fearful of the future. What a picture grown old before his time, going through the empty forms of life in America, which no longer hold much meaning for him, even as he tries to hold his tongue with his own family. But he talked to me quite a bit, and I'm very glad that he did. Poor man, don't any of you, please, grow up to be like him. You have the true faith, not the fruit of some rotten revolution started by Martin Luther, but the faith of the Catholic Church, which each revolution in turn has tried to capsize. But the Church outlives them all. In the light of this truth, the supernatural truth of your faith, use your head, won't you, to see beyond the fads and the propaganda and the empty forms of modern life. Seek the truth and know it. There is never any need for us to fear the waves, because Christ, our King and our Commander, is sleeping just below. He commands us still. Our problem is this. We go out and we watch the waves too long, and then we linger on deck and listen to the speculation of the sailors. And we have no time left for our Savior. No wonder we're sinking so fast in our society. Now, if you keep the faith, my dear faithful, the faith will keep you young. You need never grow old. You know what I mean, the very picture of being an old geezer who grumbles, but finally gives way. And none of you can retire. You have a job to do. I don't think it's been done yet. At baptism, your job was to become a saint, the image of our Lord himself. You have to serve the King. You have to spread our faith and let it shed its light on current events. For certainly your children and grandchildren, but why not the neighbors and the nice lady down the street you meet at the supermarket and your co-workers and your own parents and grandparents? Don't hoard your faith like money in a mattress. Freely have you received. Freely give. You can't retire yet. You've still got a job to do. You're not there yet at sanctity. But the closer you get, I tell you, this is a fringe benefit of your job. The younger you get. The Church sings in her office of the Common of Martyrs from the Psalms, Sanctorum sicut aquile juventus renovabitur. The youth of the saints is renewed like the eagles. And why not? Don't we all of us go up the three steps of the altar of God who gives joy to our youth? Come on, old people. Put some spring in your step as you ascend God's altar. Get that glint in your eye again as you glimpse the glory of your Catholic faith. We can do better than compromise for the umpteenth time with the naturalists and their empty promises come Tuesday. Get off your duff. Get on your soapbox. Turn off the idiot box and turn to the beads of our Blessed Mother. Oh, and please pick out the old odd thorn that's still lingering in your brain. Start using it again. Why should you settle this year for another sigh as you sidle over pretty hopelessly and make space, not for your guardian angel as we've trained these little saints to do, but you make space for some other absurd enormity that you've come to expect and learned half-heartedly to support. Some people call that the lesser evil. But God and His church call that madness. Remember, a pretty good working definition of insanity is the idea that doing the same thing in the same way will somehow yield a different result. And the Holy Father, the great Pius IX, said that allowing the masses of people who are uninformed and impulsive to make decisions over serious matters, is this not to hand oneself over to chance and deliberately run towards the abyss? It would be more appropriate to call it universal madness instead of universal democracy. And then he goes on to say that when the secret societies have their claw in things, why then it is as well universal falsehood. You end up then not only with old age before its time, but madness. Now, one of the best ways never to grow old is to treasure one of the greatest treasures we possess, which is the innocence of our youth, and to value them enough to correct them and to instruct them at every turn of the way. Never mind the reaction. Remember, you rolled your eyes once when you were corrected, too, and that may not have been too long ago. But there is a special category of youth which have something so precious to offer us. Just as the plumber, Joe the plumber, made me stop and think, so too, as you see our little saints today, stop sometimes and learn from them. Theirs is an utter faith. It is still pure. It is untouched by this world's lies. And no one has told them yet, I don't think, that they have to compromise with it, these lies. See their innocent faith, adjust your own attitude accordingly. And if we can't sometimes keep up with their energy, let us at least respect their innocence. Parents, don't raise your children the wrong way and then rue it, silently stewing the rest of your days as they grow up selfish and self-centered. Give them Jesus. Give them Mary. Give them the saints and the wisdom of the saints. And for yourself, if you do that, how on earth could you ever be fearful? I think the real fear of old fogies is this: I fooled myself all these years, and I half know It's true. Don't, under the guise of giving over to the new generation, give up. Please don't. Instead, take it all and give it to Jesus through Mary. And do not mock in the process your King anymore. And do not allow our good Lord to be mocked. Do not suffer silently others to do so, lulling your common sense and your Catholic sense, mesmerizing yourself in the process. If I'm not mistaken, that's their job. That's why they invented TV. Why do their work for them? Our Lord is not, after all, I think, sleeping in the boat. We may have closed his eyes for a moment because he's weary. He is so weary of our foolishness and our temporizing and all the rest. Our Lord is not sleeping. We are sleepwalking like zombies all the way to one more empty vote. If only we knew our Catholic faith with its timeless wisdom, which alone can save a soul or a society, and to boot, will keep us young and will guide our youth to a wise old age. Our Catholic faith is vibrant. It is victorious. We need to wake up again. Look, there'll be plenty of time for napping once you make it to heaven. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.